Well, I desire your prayers again tonight. I'd like for us to think a little bit about salvation. I'm thankful for salvation tonight. My experience is one of I wasn't raised to know anything about the Lord, and I was ignorant. I followed the ways of the flesh just about as much as I could. But the Lord come looking for me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord took the time to be able to seek after my soul. I remember a few times in my life where God spoke to me and I put him aside. I remember when I was a teenage boy, I come running through the house. I was in a hurry. My buddies was waiting on me, and I come running through the house, and we always had TVs going, and TV was gone, and I can remember hearing a man on there say, "The Lord loves you, and you can be saved right now if you want to," as I was going through there, and you know, it stopped me. And I turned and something happened to me at that moment inside me. There was a draw of those words. That Jesus loves you and you can be saved. And I stopped for just a moment and something happened in me that I had to forcefully say, "Nah," and run away from it. You know, that was the Lord. That was the Lord taking an opportunity in my life of ignorance just to say, "There's, young man, there's something better. There's something better for you." I want us to get a real idea of salvation tonight. I want the Lord to help us to get a mind of salvation. Because the world has numbed down the plan of salvation till it doesn't really hardly mean anything. People have lived lives with the testimony that I found Christ or I'm saved, and yet their life isn't speaking of anything. I want to tell you tonight that salvation is a life-changing experience. And if it doesn't change your life, you probably don't have it. It's something that works. It's dynamic in the life. The scripture says this great salvation is a great salvation to the saving of the soul, to the changing of the person, to make the old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. There's a different attitude, a different way of life. And I realize that that's magnified in somebody that lived the way I did. And it's not so much in people that live closer to it. I realize that. But salvation is real, and the world, religions have numbed it way down till it doesn't even have much appeal to it anymore. I remember I worked with a guy, and his name was Mark, and I'd worked with him for a few years, and then he quit, and I worked with his younger brother, and he had several brothers around, and I went to his house one day, and we was a-talking, and during that time, he had got saved, and he would come to me. He liked to talk to me about salvation, and I'd stop and talk to him, and we'd talk about the Lord and all, and had good times together, but went to his house one day, and he told me, he said, I was talking about different things about his brothers and all, and he got to telling me about his brother. And he said, "Marty, I want to warn you about something." He said, "I hate to say it, but I want to warn you about something." He said, "My brother's a thief. He's a thief. And I noticed that he hangs around down there sometimes around your office." And he said, "I just wanted to warn you. He's a thief. He said he stole a bunch of pocket knives right out of our own uncle's house. Said he'd steal the shingles off your house if he needed them. If it was doing him any good. He told me about he stole some lawn ornaments and stuff out of somebody's yard. He said, Marty, he's a thief. Well, we went on to the conversation a little bit, and a little bit I was ready to go and said, well, why don't you go? He said, well, I'll leave you with a prayer request. He said, pray for my brother. And I said, all right, I said, I will. And this brother that was a thief's name was Eddie. And I said, I will. I said, I'll remember Eddie. And he said, not Eddie. Eddie got saved when he was 9 years old. I mean, my other brother. He ain't never been saved. As he's a thief. He'll steal anything off of you. But he's got salvation. Come on. That's what the world has done with salvation. It doesn't do anything. Folks, that's not salvation. That is living to the flesh. That isn't salvation. Salvation is something that's dynamic and it works in our lives. It works in our lives. I want to start tonight in Hebrews. 6th chapter of Hebrews. Oh, let's see. I want to pick it up. I'll just read the 8th verse. It says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. There is something that accompanies salvation. There's a way of life. There is things that accompany salvation. Now, I want to tell a story. It's one of my favorite stories. I like to tell it when there's a big group of young people because I think there's a real application to it. I read this story. There was a young girl one time who was very... had a lot of potential. She had a lot going for her. She came from a good home, a good family. A family that was together and loved her and cared for her. And she got up into her high school years. She's a freshman in high school. She made straight A's. She was in the band. She had a lot going for her. And she fell for this senior in her high school. And, you know, the scripture says that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Do you know there's boundaries? There's boundaries in salvation. The things that accompany salvation, some of those are boundaries. There's boundaries accompany salvation because it's a fool that trusts in his own heart. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will lie to you. You'll want the desires of your heart. And that's why we preach and to say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't look at things that that it's not holy, not righteous. Don't look at those things and give yourself the first inklings of them because your heart will deceive you and tell you that there's nothing wrong and you have great future and there's great things in your life if you do those things, which your heart will lie to you. This young girl fell for this senior and she wanted to impress him. She wanted to those kind of things. And so the story goes on and they was at a park after school one day and there was young people around about and this senior boy was there and this freshman girl was there and had fallen for him and they was around and just now he pulls out a joint of marijuana and starts smoking it around and they pass it to her. She's a good girl. She's a good girl. Never, she doesn't do that kind of stuff. And she says, no, I don't do that. Oh, well, what's wrong with you? Goody two-shoes? You're too good to do it with your friends. The pressure's on. The pressure's on. She turns it down for a while. But in the process of time, different days I'm saying, but in the process of time in her involvement with them, they at least try it. You don't have to continue it. Try it. just try it. So she tries it. What can be the harm in trying it? Oh, folks, your heart will deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. And so she smokes a little marijuana with her friends. But it escalates. She starts escalating. She starts doing it more and more. And her grades start coming down. It's coming down. And then something happens that had never happened before. She starts deceiving and lying to her parents. Because her grades are coming down and they're going to want to know why. So she starts manipulating her report cards and starts hiding it from them and starts cheating them. And there's quite a story involved in it. And as it goes on, her grades are going down. Her activities outside the homes are going up. And it got to the point that by the time she was a junior in high school, she was a failure. She was not passing her classes anymore. She wasn't involved in band anymore. She was sneaking out the windows now at night and going out and partying at night. As a junior in high school, her family relationship is devastated. Her parents and her are bickering and fighting all the time as they try to draw her in. But you know why? Because they love her. They love her, young people. Listen, they love her. They want better things than to sneak out the windows and smoke marijuana. And the drugs got worse and worse. We know the story of us that's been out there and have dealt with those kind of things. We know the story. It never stays there. It always escalates and escalates. And finally, this girl is doing hard drugs and sneaking out the windows and fighting. It was that. And then, this is the way the story goes. An abandoned house. A group of young people doing drugs, hard drugs. And it was a bad batch. And this young girl is laying dying on an abandoned house floor. And her friends are there and see what's happening and they run. They called for some help and run. The help gets there. Gets this young girl. She's taken, rushed to the hospital with all the procedure that goes on with this. Some days, weeks later, she comes out of a coma. Affected for life. Affected for life. Do you know who was sitting beside the bed when she woke up? You know what she said? Where are my friends? There wasn't a friend sitting there. It was mom and dad. You know what the end of the story was? A statement from the mother that said, we just want to do all that we can now to give her as normal a life as we can give her. Folks, you know what salvation is designed to do? It's designed to save you. It's called salvation for a reason. It's to save you from the clutches of the enemy that wants to destroy you and will take any way that he can. He will use your innocency against you. He will use your naive situation. He'll use all of that against you to bring into your life. He will use peer pressure. He will use anything he can to get you to a place to destroy you. But let me tell you something about salvation. The scripture says, and we think we desire more of you. We know that there's more than that out of you. And we desire the things of salvation out of your life. There's things that accompany salvation and we want to see it in your lives. Because there's things that accompany salvation. There's wholesomeness. There's integrity too. You can look everybody in it. You don't have to lie to your parents. You don't have to deceive your parents. You can look them in the eye. You can have integrity and honor. That's what goes along with salvation. Salvation, the things that accompany salvation is that you can deal with the people around you honestly. And stand before them and look them in the eye. Oh, I had a guy one time he come up, I had an old Oldsmobile. And it got to it still run, but it didn't run well. I got another car, and I thought I need to sell this old Oldsmobile. So I went to sell it. Well, the guy comes up to the house, and he says, well, I'd like to buy the car. And I said, well, $400. Well, okay, I want to buy it. And he deals out $225 and says, well, that's all I've got. Can I pay you this, and then I'll pay you the $175 later? And I'm, boy, I really needed that $400. Oh, I said, well, okay. You pay me payday. Friday's payday, I'll pay you Friday. So he took the car. I took the $225, but I never saw him Friday. I never saw him the next Friday either. I never saw him the next Friday. He wasn't around with the $175. I wanted the $175. And, you know, I went to work one early morning. I went into one of these quick shops. It was called the Go-Mart. Went into the Go-Mart, and right ahead of me in line is this guy. And he don't see me. And he's up to the counter, he pays for his thing, and he turns around, and he, right there I am. Hello? I'm here. Right, saw me, and when he saw me, you know what he done? His eyes dropped. Do I have to explain the motion? You know what it is. He saw me, and he dropped his eyes in his head. He couldn't look me in the eye. You know why? $175. That's why. And a broken word. And he said to me, he said, I'll pay you payday. Well, I was skeptical for that point, but they're going to be paying me, and I'll pay you payday. Well, yeah, do that. So he left. Friday came, Friday goes, no $175. I need it. I want it. You know, I had the opportunity. Same scenario exactly. I go to work one day. Right in front of me is that guy in line. And he goes up and turns around, and there I am. Drop these hands. You know what's the things that accompany salvation? You don't have to drop your head. I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you. I've not talked about you behind your back. I've not stabbed you in the back. I'm not evil towards you. My purpose towards you is just love. I can look you, everybody, I can look them in the eye. I thank God for salvation. It ain't always been that way with me. But I can do it now. Because of what the Lord, that's salvation. That's what salvation's supposed to do. But let me tell you what salvation done for me. Something was stirring in my heart. Over the $175. He owed that to me. But there was something eating at me. Am I to allow someone to dictate my experience? Because he treats me wrong, I've got to have something that grinds on me inside? I was being ground on. So I went to the Lord. Lord, I need help. This guy has done me wrong. I've got feelings going on now. He won't give me my $175. I want my $175. You want the Lord done for me? He said, forgive him. What? Forgive him. And the Lord brought me the scripture over there where Stephen said, do not lay it to their charge. You know, I was able to pray and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm forgiving him. And if the only sin he'll be charged with would be the one against me, for your sake, forgive him of it. You know, the Lord allowed that scenario to play out again. The third time, I'm right behind him in line. And he goes, and he turns around, same very thing. But before he could say, I said, you're forgiven. Forget it. You don't owe me a thing. Do you know it's the things that accompany salvation. It was a cheap price to pay for what the Lord gave me inside me. Thank the Lord. I'm free. I'm free from that feeling. I'm free from that thing. I wouldn't have been free from that without salvation, but I was free. There's something that accompanies salvation for every one of us. There is multiple, so many things. Thank God for it tonight. I wish that we could get a real picture tonight of what salvation really is. Salvation, young people, will spare you the heartaches of life. Oh, there will always be some heartaches and even in righteousness. But I'm going to tell you, there is a great sparing of your life in salvation. Salvation works. You know that it's salvation that keeps my marriage like it's supposed to be? I can tell you, I love my wife and she loves me. But we know that human love isn't enough. With all the challenges there is in life, you know what's the best thing? Love the Lord with all your heart. Do you know how many times that I act right to my wife because of God? It's the Lord that's the strength. Why, she don't mind me saying this. She's glad for it. The strength of our marriage is our commitment to God. Salvation works. I want to tell you, there's times that I've had to apologize. Come to think about it, there's been a lot of times I've had to apologize. And it's one of the things that accompanies salvation. The ability to humble yourself down and make a situation right that would boil and stir for years if you didn't. And there's something that accompanies salvation that makes the situation better. Do you know the protecting hand of God accompanies salvation? Oh, the Lord has helped me so many times when it looked like a disaster. Oh, this is my testimony, and many of you have heard them, but you just have to bear with me a little bit and hear them again. Driving to work one night in West Virginia, got mountains, got started to top over this mountain and go down the other side, and I saw a car coming up this way, and he was off the road, completely off the road coming up through there, and I first thought it was a drunk driver. He was so far off, and as soon as I topped over, I realized why he was off the road, because the road was just black ice, and when I come over the top of that fairly fast, there was nothing, no skill, nothing that I could do. Hitting the brakes didn't help. Not hitting the brakes didn't help. Speeding up, slowing down, steering, pulling one way, other. Nothing helped anything. I was in a free fall down that mountain on that road sliding. And it, you know what? The only thing I can remember that I did or said, I prayed. But the only prayer I prayed was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, was what I was praying down, going down through there. And you know, that car went sliding into that rock cliff, and right before it did, it didn't. And then it slid off to the other side and went, was just about to go over the hill or into the guardrails, and just as soon, just before it hit them, it didn't. And it did that back and forth, and then it come to a very convenient stop. And the only wide spot on that whole stretch of mountain, and there I was stopped, just conveniently stopped right there. Don't you think? I was thanking the Lord right there for the things that accompany salvation. God has promised Himself. He promised that He would be with us in those kind of places. Nothing can touch us that the Lord don't allow in our lives, because those are the things that accompany salvation. And I'm so glad tonight that those things that accompany salvation are in our lives. I wish we could get such a vivid picture of what God intends His salvation to be. If there would be some way that we could see and understand what a life without salvation could be. As I look at my life and the direction I was going, I could hardly even imagine what my life might be now, or what I may be dead, or anything that could be in my life. If I could only go and see that, how much more privileged I would feel with salvation that's given me what I've got. Linda and I went up to the Walmart in Salem the other day. And all of our children are with us. And I'm going to say right off, before I say any more, that I'm not claiming that my children are perfect. And I'm not one of those parents, okay? And we've had our time. I've always looked at children doing stuff as the need of a parent. See, if they didn't, they wouldn't need parents. So I'm needed. And I think there's a duty and a responsibility in there that we work with our children. But having said that, I want to tell the further of this. We was in the Walmart and our children was all there, and they was being rather good. They was behaving themselves. It's not abnormal that they do it. They're well-behaved children. It cost us something to get there. We've worked with it. And their mother's worked a lot at more than I have. But she's worked at it. But can I tell you something? There's something that accompanies salvation here. With our children. We was in line there, and there was a guy that had a little boy with him. And just now he wanted something that he didn't get. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden there was the awful commotion, and I didn't know why I was looking. Just all of a sudden I looked, and that little fellow was in the floor, and he was a screaming, and them legs was a kicking, and them arms was a going, and he was really a throwing. And his dad, I assume it was, he kind of went by, and that little boy took a grab at his leg, and he kicked his leg. I'm sorry. Right there at that time, I kind of looked at my children, and they was all kind of bug-eyed at that, and their mother said, "Children, that's the way we don't act. This is a learning moment. This is a time to say, this is what this is." And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God for salvation. thank God for the help of the Lord and salvation. And it all ended. And I know I chuckled. I mean, I shouldn't have maybe, but I did. And I noticed some of the other women that worked there, they kind of got a chuckle and turned away. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, help us. We can be ridiculed. Look at those old holiness people walking around. Women in their long skirts and hair up on their head. Look at them. I wish at that moment that the whole store could have sat there and looked and said, there must be something to salvation. Look at the family all knit together. Look at the family and the way they walk. Look at the children that's behaved. There's things that accompany salvation. There's things that are work. Listen, the world is sacrificing the generation of children on the altars of the world. Violent behavior. All the violence that's out there. For those that's old enough to understand the word, pedophilia is everywhere. We hear it constantly of what's going on, of predators after children. All of those things, folks, salvation was meant to protect us from those things. There's something that accompanies salvation, that we don't just run after the lusts and the things. We have some barriers and boundaries that are good for us. They're good for us. God intended them to be this great salvation to work and change the heart. A heart of us that daddy now is a benefit and not a curse to the family. Don't come in beating them up. I don't come in with rage and hatefulness. There's a knit group there. They can see what God is through their father that loves them and cares for them. They can see what their mother in the church is supposed to be because they have something and they can be functional. Folks, don't look for function much out in the world. There's a lot of dysfunction out there. There's an inability to really have a marriage. God, salvation makes it possible to have a marriage lifelong. A loving marriage, one that builds stronger and stronger. It's not built on just the idea of lust or passions out there. It's built on God and salvation. Folks, there's things that accompany salvation that works in our lives. Thank God for it. And again, I claim that my children are perfect. But I thought, I wonder if anybody ever looks and says, or looks and sees, maybe there's something valuable in living that way. Look at the world around and it's trying to do that. Folks, young people, especially, listen to me a little bit. There's a reason why there's standards of dress in the Bible. It's something that accompanies salvation. It's something that presents that there is something more valuable than just this flesh. There's something higher than that. We don't reach for that. There's a standard there that says and suggests that we're not animals. We're human beings. And the thing that accompanies salvation is to protect us against the lewdness of this world. It sets a standard against it, and it accompanies salvation, and it makes dignity and respect. There was a time in this United States of America that it was almost unheard of for a woman to be attacked, molested, or in anything because it was, they were honor. They were honorable. You know, that's almost gone. If it isn't gone, from a cultural standpoint, it's almost completely gone. Because they're mostly presented in our world today through the media, through Hollywood, through the entertainments, as flesh. Nothing more valuable. Thank God for the things that accompany salvation tonight. I appreciate salvation. Me and Lynn and I'll be going along, and this has happened a lot of times. We'll be going along, and the blue lights will be flashing, and there'll be somebody in the, and then the police will be having them guys look back there, and I'll drive by, and when I drive by, I say, thank God for salvation. Thank God for salvation. I see some old drunk staggering and falling in the ditch. I'll go, thank God for salvation. I ain't ridiculing him. I'm thanking God for my salvation that keeps me out of the ditch. I'm thanking God that my hands isn't back there with handcuffs on me. I thank God that there's something more valuable in my life, that I don't have to live that way anymore because he brought a salvation. You know, I could be jealous, I could be envious, I could be a lot of things, but thank God when I found Jesus, he cured me of it. I don't have to be that way. Can stand up. Look everybody in the eye. Thank the Lord. I'd like to look at the scripture. Oh, let's see. Over in 5th chapter of Mark. Let's see. We'll go 5. Yeah, we'll start with 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. I think that this passage of scripture opens the slightest door for our vision into a world that we probably don't understand very well. But I think there's a little glimpse into it with that passage of scripture. I think the devil wants to destroy you. Young people, he's after you. Well, he's after old people too. But I think he would really love to get the young people going. But he's after all of us. But the glimpse into that is this. Jesus let them have their leave and they went into swine. That's just one big chunk, hunk of flesh. There isn't choice involved with them. They don't run like off of like you and I do. We were created by God and given choice, and to some degree, even the devil's got to adhere to that. It's the way we were created. But these swine didn't have the choice. And what the devil done was what the devil purely does. They said, let us do it. And he did. And he drove them crazy. And run them immediately into the sea and destroyed them. That's what he ultimately would do to every one of us given in to him. There is no stopping here on this. There isn't no saying, well, I had my fun with him and now I'll quit. We think in terms of the most hideous people in history, most of them had sympathy somewhere in their life. They loved their mother. I've seen things on Adolf Hitler but he had affection toward those around him. He had a dog that he loved. He had some human affection. Let me tell you something. Satan has none of those at all. He won't stop. But salvation is meant to conquer him. Salvation was made to beat him. We are given to some point to the things of the flesh, and the devil has certain things in our lives, and the salvation was made to break that and conquer that. Thank the Lord for the things that accompany salvation. One of them is to beat the devil. We add through salvation the power. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. We now can stand up against the foe of our souls and come out with victory. That one that would drive us into the sea if he could now is defeated because of Christ. We'll hear the end of this. It says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. What an unusual thought. What an unusual scripture. They begin to beg him, Jesus. They ask this question. Why wouldn't you want Jesus in your land? Do you know Jesus just done something in a moment that they couldn't do in years? They tried to fetter him, tie him. They tried to reason with him, according to the way the scripture sounds. No man could tame him. They tried to talk to him, deal with him. Tried to tell him to quit, stop him. They couldn't overpower him. They couldn't overdo him. And Jesus, in a moment, comes and alters the whole situation. Why wouldn't you want a man like that in your land? A land of superstitious idolatry, of witchcraft, of demon possessions and all that. Why wouldn't you want the Son of God there to make a difference? You want to know the answer? They're swine herders. That's why. They begin to beg him to leave because they were swine herders. He destroyed 2,000 swine. The analogy is so vivid to me. We live in a world that Jesus Christ is the answer to every social ill we have. the things that accompany salvation would cure every problem we have. Do you know it would cure the abortion problem? Sure it would. But it'd go all the way to the root of the problem. It wouldn't deal with the exteriors. It'd go to the root, which is the heart. It would go to the morality of it. Why is there a necessity to have abortions? Because of sin. Because the scripture says children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing. But we don't look at it as a blessing because we got to fight this moral issue. We got to fight the rights and wrong. And if there's a result to action that's wrong, then there's some wrong deed. So we'll erase that and get rid of it. Oh, but the Lord has an answer to that in the heart. In the heart, He'd take care of the heart problem. And now that would be done in righteousness and it'd be a blessing and we'd conquer. So let's get rid of Jesus. Let's get Him out of our society. Let's get Him out of the picture. Folks, we can be guilty of the same thing. But I like the things that I'm doing. And Jesus comes along and does something like this, but we, Lord, go on out. I don't want to stop my entertainments. I don't want to stop the things that I have. The flesh. This word flesh. This is what this means. Flesh becomes the flesh. I don't want to stop my fleshly life. There's always been a contradiction. A battle. The spirit and the flesh. They war with one another. They battle against one another. The scripture says they envy. They fight. Please leave. Well, listen to this. And when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I don't blame him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus had faith in his salvation. I would say, go with the Lord. Learn all you can. Stay real close to him. Unless you have a need, come back. Or, you know, there's... But Jesus didn't say that. He said to this man that he had delivered these spirits from, go home to thy friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. So he left the man as a monument, as a testimony that the Son of God's been here. I wonder how long, you remember that man? You know the last time I saw him? He didn't have any clothes on. He was running around like a madman. He had blood all over him where he cut himself. He was uncontrollable. And now he speaks words of life. Listen, this guy. But do you know that escapes most people? And Lord help us. Lord help us. As I look at the things of God and see it around, I appreciate so much the things that accompany salvation. We was way off. I don't even know where we was at. Right now, I don't remember. We pulled into a McDonald's or a Brahms. I think it was a Brahms. And I pulled in and there was this young woman in there serving at Brahms at the window that had a full, modest, very modest dress on, had her hair pulled up. She was so saintly and godly. I didn't get the opportunity, but I know the conflict that people have in life, and I just wanted to say to her, God bless you, young woman. Stay there. Lord be with you. No doubt she was challenged. She was the only one that looked like that, that's for sure. But she looked so wholesome to me. She was such a refreshing thing, seeing something so wholesome and so godly. I don't have the ability to look into somebody's heart. I'm not claiming to. But the image was so godly and pure and right. Oh, bless you. The world should know the value of God's salvation. It's the answer, folks. It's the answer to all the problems that we have in life. If you don't have a good dose of salvation tonight, I'd recommend that you weigh the cost of it and see what it is. Because this is meaningful. It's right. It'll save you so much in life. There is blessing after endless blessing. And let me tell you what the greatest of all of it's going to be one day for all of us. I met a man one time in University of Virginia Medical Center. There were some nurses there that told me, said, Marty, you've got to meet this guy. Said, you guys will hit it off. And I want to meet this guy then. So I went and met him, and sure enough, we clicked right off. We talked. He loved fish. I mean, he loved the fish. Well, we finally got around to why he was in there, and he said, I had a bout of cancer a while back, and I done well and conquered it and went into remission and said, it's back. Said, I ain't worried about it. It'll be over. I'll get better and this and that. And didn't leave hardly any room for any other serious conversation. And so during the times I'd visit him and he loved the fish and he'd tell me about catching fish and lures and baits and all those kind of things and being on the boat with his grandchildren and all those kind of things. But there come a time he didn't win the battle. He lost the battle. And I went one time, I'm going to tell you, I prayed, Lord, have mercy. Help me to be able to talk to him. Help me be able to, he wasn't interested in the Lord at all, but this is down to the end of the time now. I mean, it's time to do that. And I looked at him and I thought, all he ever got enjoyment out of, all he going out there and fishing and all that. Listen, he drew nothing from it now. He wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, if I could make one more cast, if I could catch one more bass, if I could go out one more time, if that's gone. His God failed him. He couldn't get anything from it anymore. The thousands of people and thousands of people rush to the big stadiums and get a rush on there, but their football gods ain't going to save them. It ain't going to bring joy and peace to their life when they're giving them the last breaths coming out. People give their hearts to music and hearts to things and entertain and all the things of the world. But when it comes down to the end of it, their gods fail them. There's nothing now left for him. And I went there to talk to him and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I went there and I sat by his bed the day that they told him, there's nothing more we can do. And now there's only hours left. And I went in there and the man lay there in his bed. There was tears in his eyes, but he looked straight into space. Nothing you could say could blot. He never could change. You couldn't say anything. He just there was with this set look on his face. His gods let him down. Folks, I've seen faithful saints die. And it's the way to do it. I've seen them come down. My dear old grandmother spent her life living for, she loved the Lord. And her the last thing she said to me was, she said, Marty, I'm so tired. I just want to go home, be with Jesus. Her God didn't let her down. Salvation, the things that accompany salvation, was still there. Her love was still intact. Her faith was still intact. Those are the things. The peace of salvation was still on her heart. Sister Altabach, I walked in. I didn't know what to expect. She had had cancer and so big around the middle. She was there and I walked in and I didn't know what to expect. She looked up at me and smiled. A big old smile. And said, Brother Marty, how you doing? Well, how you doing? Blessed. Blessed. Oh, I've seen people that trusted in the Lord. And their salvation didn't let them down. It grew stronger. It grew stronger. You know, every one of us here is going to have to face it one of these days. Now, I ain't so much talking to young people. You will too. I'm talking to the older people now. Salvation's real. Nurture it. Bring it along. The scripture says, build up your most holy faith. More faith, Lord, help us. 2014 is a challenging time. We have, well, I'll tell you, I can see with my eyes out here in this beautiful valley of yours. It's very rich and growing. You don't have any problem out here with rich and growing. The fruit's hanging on the trees. You all can live for I don't know how long off the blackberries that's getting ready to come on out there. I've never seen that. We have blackberries and people picked them and canned them and froze them and done all kind of stuff. I've never seen blackberries like, it's a fruitful place, but the nation's fruitful. We've come across acres upon thousands of acres of wheat, of corn, of soybeans, irrigating farms everywhere, making food, making rich. We're wealthy people. Folks, we need to be wealthy in salvation. Don't allow this time of tranquility, of abundance, of prosperity. Don't allow that to interfere with the due course of salvation, because salvation is greater than any of all that and all that. Thank God tonight for salvation. I appreciate the Lord so much, and I pray that He would give us all a very bright vision and allow us to compare, a vivid comparison between the road of the world, the road of sin, the road of the flesh, and the road of salvation. I think if we saw it together, salvation will work every time. You pray for me.